The Collective Laboratory.
Mudam.
The Collective Laboratory est un projet développé par Lina Jeanne et Clémentine Proby au Mudam, le musée d'art contemporain du Luxembourg, de novembre 2023 à janvier 2024, pour aborder, questionner et repenser pratiques artistiques collectives et méthodologies institutionnelles. Six collectifs européens, évoluant dans les champs de l'édition et de la performance, ont été invités à occuper les espaces d'exposition du musée, les transformant temporairement en résidences d'artistes. Le temps de 2 semaines, leurs membres ont fait des galeries vides leur espace de production, de répétition et d'expérimentation. Dans le cadre de ce projet, Théo Robin Langlois réalise un format radiophonique pour Du Radio en 6 épisodes.
So with all that we have learned about translation and languages, I want to invoke the following. So it be, Eden and Odie, listening runs deeper than skin. So it be, Ariel, to touch water is to delve into another world. So it be, Skylar, sound travels Tatum. Traveling by the guidance of the psyche is an essential mode of play. So it be, Lennox, every death concurs with the possibility of resurrection. I am Hollis, your mistranslator today and somewhat reliable guide through tomb.
Tatum.
Skylar.
Tatum and Tatum is both fine. I'm used to being called Tatum and Tatum. Some say Tatum, which... yeah, I'm not so sure about that one.
I think we arrived 2 days ago, if I'm not mistaken. But time... yeah, time is dissolving slowly, so I can't guarantee that information is correct, but I think it's been 2 days. I work a lot with space. And I guess for you, time does play a role.
And the transcription of sound as it moves through space.
Sometimes my space.
And sometimes you're in my space. The spaces intersect.
I'm a map maker. I'm a psychogeographer. I am part of that scene, and there is a very strict dress code. So for me, it is very important, not by choice, though.
I guess I've always been sort of a magpie. Magpies are drawn to shiny things. Yeah. I guess that's just me.
So beautiful, I'm always so touched when I hear it.
Yeah, I really like this collection of things that I found, borrowed, stolen. They make my day-to-day much more peaceful.
If your eyes are still closed, you might want to open them now.
And you will find smaller pieces of paper on the table. I'm asking each of you to grab one and to write on this little sheet of paper what we in psychogeography refer to as a dérivé, a distraction, an instruction that will lead your neighbor, whoever is sat next to you, away from their path. We do have a very strict schedule, I think we can say that. And some members of the tomb get very stressed out if that schedule is being stretched.
Oh yes, and you are messing heavily with our schedule at this moment. It's not so much about stress, but it's about... So it is very different from a factory. In a factory, you have certain processes, you have a kind of conveyor belt system, or one can also call it Fordism. For us, it's very important to create rituals within language can take shape. And that's why we have a schedule, in order to prepare our bodies to open up that space. Normally, we start our day at 8. We get ready with fruit and tea and coffee, but all of this happens non-verbally.
Oh, that's my favorite part.
It's the best part of the day.
So we only ever break our tongues at 10 a.m. in the morning when we start with the morning circle. And, I mean, I could go through the day, but basically the important thing is that we keep to the schedule in order to ritualize our kind of bodily fields in order to make language or invite our languages to emerge. Language is composed silence, and it orchestrates the world. We have many different languages, and it would be wrong to say that there is raw data of reality on one side, and then different languages that represent or symbolize that very same raw data. But translation works within these different, or within the intimate relations between different languages. So they don't really, not so much represent this relation, they rather sort of point towards that relation. But that also means that languages always move in proximity. There's actually no absolute understanding between languages, and there's always some form of loss, like in loss of information that is perhaps more of flavor. I guess you're French, no? So you know that savoir and saveur, they share the same root, the same Latin root, so flavor and knowledge. And so this flavor is often something that gets lost, and this is exactly that space where mistranslation sort of expands and can be located. I think Odie would want to continue that thought. A limit is not necessarily something negative. Of course, an institution or every institution is limiting in the sense that it prescribes a certain set of, one could say, scores also. I mean, there's also just in general the limits of reality. Like, I can imagine to walk through this wall behind you, but if I did attempt to do so, I probably would either not be successful or in a lot of pain. And so also this set of instructions that the museum comes with is a limit, of course. For us also as linguists, we've had a lot of interactions with people coming to the museum thinking we're artists, thinking we make art, We've been trying to, but it also, that was a very strong, like very powerful limit that we kept trying to explain to them what our practice is, what the particularities are of being linguists, but it felt like it just didn't come through to them. They kept referring to us as performers, and whether we're going to perform for them, and we told them, no, this is our life. This is our life project. And it felt at that very moment that I could, yeah, it was the limits of the museum were very palpable.
I think that to transcend the limits, I'm trying to say that. If you just let me. Okay.
Okay, you start.
You start.
No, you.
I don't know, maybe I get too shy. I think I sort of want to get... I sort of look at this as an opportunity for me to, like, get gigs. They don't know my name.
Shall we start?
Actually, it's not for me that I'm asking your name. It's for the interview. I already know your name.
But yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm Lennox.
I'm Aria. This is just one of my many bags. This one's liquid. I also sometimes have frozen bags or gas bags as well. But I think for the beginner, it's really good to work with water, actually. And it's also a method I use is to color it a bit to understand what's happening with my eyes. But it's to learn about weight and listening.
I have some experience with interviews that didn't turn out so well. Actually, I wasn't prepared. Also, I couldn't find my lipstick. And then he asked a question with words I didn't understand really. And it killed me, actually. So being back in the setting brings back a lot of memories. On the first day, I did like a tiny little workshop where we basically were just working on, like, because I'm working with, like, communicating with spirits, and I found out, like, a way they talk is through, like, like the poltergeist. So I've been working sort of on this, going into the other side, trying to, like, move objects, but also, like, moving objects with the mind. So we had, like, a tiny little spoon-bending workshop. And since then, there have been an incident or two. I mean, there was this incident this morning where I was just getting coffee downstairs, and the And the copper door just flew open and like 10 cups smashed into the wall. It created quite a stir, you can say. And yeah, there has been a lot of cups that are just falling all the time.
Yeah, and the spoons also have been attacking us. But were the spoons from here?
Yeah, they're from the cafe.
There's been some attacking spoons.
If you want, I can show you also. You could maybe record it. But basically, you have to really, really focus, and then you hold a spoon, and then you try to bend it, but only with your mind. And I never managed to do it. None of the others did also, but...
But we've seen like a glow on the joint, a blue glow, for me at least personally, yeah. So it seemed like it was close.
Yeah, like a part of my practice is, I just resurrected. So we had a funeral earlier today, and after the funerals, I'm normally able to resurrect, and that's very nice. You can find some of the oldest languages in the world in the underworld, maybe even some that are older than the world.
To you.